What you doing?
Making Earth Day signs.
Why?
Because the Earth's dying.
Wow. So why do we have to make Earth Day signs?
So that people will respect the Earth.
Go ahead. What else?
Even though we're sticking signs in the ground.
He got here before you did, so he wins the job of the year award over here because you were sitting. No, I'm just kidding. So you're making Earth Day signs because the Earth is dying and you want people to respect the Earth.
Wow.
Sometimes it's just no point in going on, right? But I'm going to anyway because I spent time on this sermon. And I like to torture you. Can I ask you a question? Hi. Nice to meet you. Do you think that God would want you to make signs?
No, because it's wasting paper and
trees. No, because it's wasting paper and trees? Wow. That's a very good point.
You're at an impasse.
I am at an impasse. I mean, truly, how often am I speechless? That's a really good point. I don't even know what to say to that. It's such a good point. Okay, let me try a different tactic. Do you think that God would want you to send a message to other people about taking care of the earth? Yes? Okay. So maybe signs aren't a great idea. What would be another good idea?
Maybe, because some people might not listen.
So maybe some signs would be good because some people wouldn't listen? That was a really nice compromise. Thank you for that. Any other ideas? Go ahead. You were going to say something, Skylar, weren't you?
No?
Why do you think, what messages do you think God would want you to send? Or different ways to send messages about taking care of God's earth. Go ahead.
Don't cut down trees because it takes away your air.
Don't cut down trees because it takes away your air. And if you happen to cut down trees, what should you do?
You should grow more.
Grow some more. So you can plant some more, right? Thank you for taking me off the hook. That was really good. Really appreciate that. Yes.
If you have to grow the trees, then you might have air to breathe.
You need the trees for air to breathe, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so air's...
Just like I do.
Take a deep breath. Yep, that's right. That's right. You know what? We all do, but you're absolutely right. Okay, so air is a way to take care of... Nature's a good way to take care of the earth. What are other good ways to take care of the earth?
Setting a good example.
How would you do that? How would you set a good example? Good. So what other things would you do so people could follow? You wouldn't litter. Excellent. Thank you. Yes?
You wouldn't use cars and use, like, bikes and stuff.
You'd use bikes instead of cars, see? Got you, too.
Cars make smoke, and also when you cut down trees, you take away other animals' habitats and they become extinct.
Okay, so, yes?
And also, the animals could die if you cut down the trees.
So if you cut down a tree, it falls on the animals, it could die, and they could become extinct because they need the trees for their environment. So now we're talking air, right? And we're talking taking care of the earth and not littering, and we're talking about taking care of the animals. Yes, what else?
If we cut down trees, we don't eat them. We're taking them away from our...
So for those of you who didn't hear, if we cut down trees, we're taking away our own resources because we need pollinators to help create food for ourselves. So we're kind of stepping on our own toes, right? Go ahead.
Stop global warming.
Stop global warming. Wow, because if we don't do that, what happens? What will happen? Oh, so Antarctica will melt and we'll lose some animals. Okay. Yes, sir. Say that again?
It sometimes be Christmas.
Oh, so it's really hard to make decisions about cutting down trees when it's Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a really good point.
And also, an elf comes to a house, and you name it, and then it gets the powers.
I see. So maybe that's a conversation, like we'll come back to the Christmas tree part around Christmas time and elves. Okay, I'm going to let somebody else have a turn, okay? Go ahead.
And also,
yes. It'd be kind of cool if we had elves that would help us fix the environment, wouldn't it? Just say yes. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Also, the reason why you shouldn't ride cars is because cars the gas makes pollution and it kills the animals. Pollution kills the animals.
Wow, that's a lot of things to think about. Yes, you're right. Pollution does kill animals. Go ahead. Most SUVs make a lot of smoke. So you're absolutely right. Okay, wow, yes, sir. So China makes the most smoke every day and the United States is the second? Okay. Wow, do you all care what happens to our planet? Why do you care what happens to our planet?
Because
it's the only one we can live on. Wow. Thank you all. Wow. Right? Wow. Yeah. Thank you all. Sometimes, you know, there's this fine line between what we see as hope, right? And when your kids are smarter than you, you're in trouble, but then there's also hope, right? Here's the other thing that they have that sometimes we don't have, and that's the ability to see the big picture, right? We get focused on, well, of course I have to drive, I have to get to work, and if I don't get to work, I won't get paid. Meanwhile, they're like already thinking about, well, okay, but your air's messed up, your pollution, your animals, and we sometimes lose that notion of big picture, don't we? So the question becomes on this first Sunday after Easter is, how is it that we are talking about Earth Day and the road to Emmaus and at the same time? And Easter, how do they all come together? Anybody want to venture a guess? I have to go back to them, don't I? Okay. You know, the road to Emmaus is one of those very interesting stories. We were talking about that earlier. It's one of those things where you'd like to think that if you were on the road, you would have said, oh my God, look who it is, right? And so you wonder how disciples of Jesus, only a couple days after he seems to have left the building, don't even recognize him on the walk, right? Here he is, the incarnation of God, of the divine, of our beloved, walking down the road. But they are so immersed in their own issues, their own grief, their own sense of loss, that they don't even recognize that he's right there in front of them, do they? Until he sits with them and breaks bread. And in that breaking of the bread, reminds them of the incarnation. Now, let me be very clear about this incarnation word, because it's a big theological word that has a very simple definition. When we talk about the bread and the wine, and we talk about it representing the body and blood of Jesus, we are talking about a ritual that reminds us that in that ritual, God shows up. Because God showed up in the body, and God is showing up in the bread and wine, which represents the body which we need to nourish. It is just like tons of metaphors and examples in that. Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that great? Just smile and say yes. Thank you. Okay. You know, the church historically has looked at the incarnation as only Jesus being the incarnation, only Jesus representing God in this space, right? But really, we do a disservice when we do that. Because if we only see Jesus as the incarnation of the divine, then how could we possibly see it any other place? Which I think is the whole point of the Road to Emmaus. You know, when I was a kid, all those years ago, it wasn't funny. There was a commercial. And this commercial had a stereotypical Native American in all the regalia in a canoe paddling down this beautiful river, right? But then as he paddles, he starts hitting things in the water. A piece of litter here, a piece of trash there. Do y'all remember this commercial? Yeah. And then, of course, as he moves closer and closer to what I recognized as New York City, because I lived right near there, and that's the only city that existed in my mind, is he comes into this river, and he pulls up on a shore. But by the time he gets there, the water and the beach are littered, where you can hardly even see the beauty of the river anymore. Do you remember what happens next? Okay, camera pans to his face, and what do we see? One tear. Right? When you saw that commercial, how did you feel? Fine? You cried. What'd you do? Right? Yes. And how long did that last?
A lot. Long time. I mean, that awareness of litter
lasted a long time?
Became part of me.
Did it? Yeah. Wow. You're better than I am. No, seriously, I would do this.
It's a pretty easy thing to tackle.
Right, as long as it's...
I also realized that the problem was
a little bigger. Right. Thank you. You're absolutely right. Anybody else? So you're better than I am, because here's what would happen with me, right? The commercial would last as long as, 24, 48 hours. You'd go out, you see litter, you pick it up. If I was in the car, much to my parents' dismay, and someone threw something out their window, Claire's rolling down the window, ready to say so. Actually, I didn't. I was very shy then. But it's good for the story. And we tend to hold on to moving events like that until they're out of our consciousness, right? Somebody might equate that to Easter, right? We're all about Easter in the first couple of weeks, and then we're on to our lives. So this notion of being aware would last until I saw the commercial again. But I would respond the same way. You'd pick up a piece of litter, or you'd judge somebody who didn't, and before long, you'd move on to other things. This crew over here, I think, has a much broader understanding of climate change. Yeah, and the problems of the planet than we did at their age, don't you think? Again, that fine line between hope and oh boy, right? I like what Richard Rohr has to say about the incarnation of Jesus. I'm going to read it to you. He says, long before the incarnation as we know it, the incarnation, that is, God's presence, was in all of creation. All of creation was the body of God. It did not happen in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. That's just when we started taking it seriously. He says the incarnation actually happened 14.5 billion years ago, with a moment that we now call Big Bang, and that's when God actually decided to materialize and self-expose. He further goes on to say, 2,000 years ago was the human incarnation of God in Jesus. But before that was the first and original incarnation through light, through water, land, sun, moon, stars, planet, trees, fruits, birds, serpents, cattle, fish, and every kind of wild beast. This was the comet, cosmic Christ, through which God has let us know the mystery of purpose, the hidden plan God has so kindly made from the beginning in Christ. Well, that doesn't make it about us, does it? So, here's what's been going on this past weekend. Have you been aware? Yeah. So in addition to Earth Day marches, there's been a march for science. Next week, there's another group called the People's Climate Movement, and it'll be a march on Washington about climate change. Well, these sound like all political events to me. What about you? Come on, you want to say it. You know you do. Are they political?
Yes. They're not necessarily partisan.
They're not, thank you. They're not necessarily partisan, but they are political. Well, what are we doing talking about politics and church? And don't say, Claire, you do it all the time. That's beside the point. What are we doing talking about politics, such as funding science and making sure that our climate change is taken seriously rather than denied as the horrific thing that it is? What are we doing talking about that based on our Emmaus story and based on the incarnation of God? Go ahead. Take a chance. Go ahead. So these things are about more than just signs, but bringing awareness to our global village about the problems that exist. What else? I'm sorry? They're human issues. I'm looking for another word. They are environmental, but still another word. No. No, you're right. You're right. You're right. Bigger, bigger. What?
Global.
Yes. God, faith, all right, we're getting closer, warmer.
The body of God.
The body of God, you read your bulletin. Wow. Oh, that's really good. And still not what I'm looking for. Isn't that funny? Spiritual. I'm gonna help you out. How does climate change and pollution and water and oil present itself in our current, no pun intended, or actually intended, environment? You're all going to go, should have had a V8 when I tell you. These are all justice issues. Because interwoven with climate change and interwoven with oil versus water, and interwoven with lead water in poverty-stricken cities, is an issue of justice. Environmental issues, climate justice as it is becoming known, affect the poor and oppressed and discriminated long before they affect us. Let me ask you a question. Let's pretend that there is lead poisoning in the water source of Bridgeport, Connecticut. Enough said. Right? Let's pretend that there is an oil pipeline that is so far destined to become part of Beverly Hills. It just has to go underneath their water source. Can we have another laugh? Because that was really effective. Oh, you read my sermon. That's on page. That's absolutely true. I have that right here. That's right here. If we all had the same healthcare issue, would there be a healthcare issue? Let's pretend that I could eat good food if there was a grocery store in my neighborhood that had good food. We can go on and on and on. But the bottom line is that Earth Day, climate justice, marches about science, which help us to come up with factual information, which help us work together as a global entity in order to make things better for everyone, goes right back to Jerusalem. Right? It goes right back to Jerusalem, to that moment where God incarnate said, this is supposed to be a world for all equally. And it is very tempting to get all gung-ho about our signs and our marches and our Easters, but we have to hold on to them. We have to hold on to this notion of God incarnate. When we look outside at that mountain, we have to get used to the idea of God incarnate when we're talking about Flint, Michigan. We have to get used to God incarnate when we're talking about Standing Rock. And we're talking about trees and animals and SUVs. Right? Because God was incarnate long before two-leggeds took to the earth. And unless we start treating where we are and where we live as if it is the body of God, then, as Schuyler said, there is no other place. Right? And so we have to come to an understanding that our justice, yes, sir, I'm going in for my finale, so come on, make it good. We could live on Mars. That's another sermon for another time. We'll meld it with the elves and we'll be all together. Yeah, that's your kid. Their kid. We have to recognize that this notion of God incarnate is not just about humanity. It is not just about one man, but it is about the fact that we live in a world that has been created, where all of creation is seen as equally sacred to our beloved. And so as you go forward on this day, I challenge you each and every day, not just to pick up a piece of litter, but to remember that we exist as part of the body of God, the body of Christ. We've all heard this before, and now we're called to live into it. Let the people say, amen.